Guardian Unlimited.
The former Prime Minister of Pakistan, Benazir Bhutto, has been assassinated during an election rally in Rawalpindi. She was campaigning on behalf of her Pakistan People's Party, ready for elections being scheduled in January. Jason Burke is the Observer's chief correspondent. He's recently returned from Pakistan and has interviewed Ms. Bhutto dozens of times since the late 1990s. I asked him if he thought Ms. Bhutto had been specifically targeted.
I think it's almost certain there haven't been random attacks on political gatherings until now. There have been a series of specific attacks on Bhutto's life. The idea of it being some kind of coincidence that they didn't know that she was there is very, very unlikely. It seems to me to be a clear assassination attempt of Benazir Bhutto. We've seen them before. There have been numerous attempts on her life. This one succeeded.
Why is there this personal hatred against her?
Well, she represents everything that the Islamists don't like, and that's why they hate her so much. She's a woman. She's very westernised. Her backers have been often the West. Her return to Pakistan was a result of, in many ways, the support of Washington and, to a lesser extent, London, who put pressure on General Musharraf to let her come back.
Are there more than one group who may be responsible?
It's going to be very difficult to find out exactly who is responsible. We still don't really know who was responsible for the last attempt on her life on the 18th of October. That one obviously failed. Trying to find out what exactly is the situation with this one is going to be very difficult too.
The elections in Pakistan are upcoming in January. What are the policies that Bhutto has been out promoting?
Pakistani politics doesn't necessarily depend on the sort of manifestos that we are used to in the West. What Bhutto has been arguing is that she was looking particularly at socio-economic issues, which are clearly of great interest to a vast portion of Pakistanis. When I saw her, I spent a day with her just over 10 days ago. She spoke to me at length about inflation. She went for a walkabout in a market with the idea of talking to local vendors about what the prices were to find out about inflation.
To what extent do you think she was worried about this kind of attack?
She was extremely worried. That's the first thing she said to me when I spoke to her. We spoke in her car for several hours, actually, and she was... the first thing she mentioned was security and how she wasn't receiving the right security arrangements, how she wasn't being protected, how she was very worried, and how an election couldn't possibly happen under those sorts of circumstances when you have one candidate who is worried for her life. So it was something she was very concerned about. It was something that she was trying to get arranged to her satisfaction but was having some trouble doing so.
Who is it who's responsible for security in these situations?
Security is a responsibility of the government, the Ministry of the Interior, the intelligence services, eventually, theoretically, I suppose, the president. She was actually guarded by a special detachment of Punjab police commandos and had an armoured car, had a variety of other elements. But the ultimate responsibility obviously goes back to the state.
What's going to happen now with the election? What was the aim, do you think, of these attackers, and will it succeed?
Well, the aim was to derail... the primary aim was to kill Bhutto, and that is something that we shouldn't forget. And there's a great deal of personal antagonism towards Bhutto. The secondary aim was to derail the elections, and that is very likely to have been successfully achieved.
What do you think is going to happen next?
I think it's very unlikely that the elections are now going to be held. It's very difficult to see how they could be. So I think we're going to see quite possibly another state of emergency declared and the elections delayed for an indeterminable period, possibly several months. Certainly, it will be very interesting to see what happens within the Pakistan People's Party, which has always been largely Benazir's personal vehicle, and that obviously is going to change dramatically. That too will change the entire political landscape of Pakistan in a way that is going to be very, very dramatic.
Presumably this isn't all good for Pervez Musharraf either, because a worsening security situation is bad for the country as a whole.
Musharraf's raison d'etre is that he brings security. There's no other reason to have a military ruler, and Musharraf now obviously has taken off his military uniform, but no one's under any illusions as to where his power base is. He does have an electoral mandate but he still relies very heavily on the military. If the military can't guarantee order and security, then why have they any power at all? That's their primary reason for being there. If they can't do it, then they clearly shouldn't logically be there. It won't do him any good at all. He was looking to actually ally himself with Benazir as part of a deal that would please Western backers, among other people, and if he can't do that, then much of his own political strategy is in ruins too. So it's not necessarily something that would benefit Musharraf, and it certainly doesn't benefit him internationally.
The Observer's Jason Burke. For more updates on this story, go to guardian.co.uk/Pakistan.